30 years ago today, an unforeseen force was unleashed on the American cinema. The first Star Wars movie broke box office records, and it created a frenzy for Star Wars-inspired toys and merchandise, something that changed the way Hollywood thinks about movies. NPR's Laura Seidel reports.
Every major studio in Hollywood had passed on the script when 20th Century Fox said yes, but no one there expected Star Wars to do well. Were they wrong? Star Wars was the second highest-grossing film of all time behind Gone with the Wind, and the dough rolled in from more than theater tickets.
No one anticipated the success of Star Wars merchandising.
Dale Pollack is the author of Skywalking, the unauthorized biography of George Lucas.
So it wasn't just action figures and toy sets. It went into soundtrack albums, it was costumes, it was merchandise in more variety and volume than Hollywood had ever seen.
I'm here at Toys R Us in San Rafael, California, and of course they have lightsabers. Darth Vader's Sith Starfighter.
It was the groundbreaking film in getting that aisle space in Toys R Us, where you have a whole section now that's film tie-in, didn't exist before 1977.
In fact, the interest in Star Wars toys and memorabilia took toy makers by surprise that Christmas, recalls Howard Rothman, president of Lucas Licensing.
So Kenner came up with this very novel idea of selling a box that had a certificate in it for the first 12 Star Wars action figures. And there were an awful lot of kids that year who got a box with a certificate.
Since 1977, Star Wars merchandise has done more than $13.5 billion in retail sales. After the release of Star Wars, studio executives were being courted, says David Weitzner, a Hollywood independent marketing consultant.
Those people who would purchase licenses to create everything from lunch pails to lamps to sheets and bed clothing were calling the studios 24/7. We didn't have to go out begging. They were coming to us.
The success of the licensing business was a disappointing surprise to 20th Century Fox. The studio had given the licensing rights and therefore profits to George Lucas.
Star Wars!
Jacob, the 7-year-old son of NPR editor Sarah Saracen, loves his Star Wars lightsaber. Just tell him to play Star Wars and he lets out an array of sound effects.
We must get the Death Star ready before the Imperials destroy it.
Lucas understood his characters could live beyond the screen, says Weitzner.
And allow us to not only experience the film, but to role play, to be Luke Skywalker, to continue the fantasy.
The profits from the licensing fees from Star Wars helped Lucas finance a life away from Hollywood others could only dream about. His main production operation is at the 4,000-acre Skywalker Ranch just north of San Francisco. 2 years ago, he opened another huge facility in the city at the Presidio. That's where licensing chief Howard Rothman has his office. His shelves are filled with the collectible Star Wars action figures that helped revitalize the merchandising business after a lull in the 1980s.
I've seen it fall off a cliff and be proclaimed dead by all the retailers in the country. And I've seen it work its way back as that original Star Wars generation grew up and we started producing different products.
The last three Star Wars movies, starting in 1999, helped bring back old fans and get a new generation excited, says Rothman. Many other Hollywood movies try to capitalize on licensing, but Marty Brockstein, executive editor of The Licensing Letter, says Hollywood has also discovered not all successful films are made for merchandising.
For example, one of the biggest box office films of all time was Titanic. There's just a certain amount of things you can do with Titanic after all the ship does sink.
Brockstein says George Lucas has kept the Star Wars franchise alive with new movies and video games, but the independent-minded director has declared there will be no more Star Wars movies. So many wonder if the characters he created will remain popular outside the cinema. That might be a question for Yoda. Laura Seidel, NPR News, San Francisco.